This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Chiefs still coping with a blowout in the Super Bowl. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray. Andrew Perloff is on vacation, and EJ Stewart is sliding over into the big chair. Good morning, EJ. How are you?
Doing great, Maggie. What's up?
Thank you for doing the show yesterday, by the way. You guys did a fantastic job. Manny and Ray are along here. We got a fun show for you. And what I mean by the Chiefs still coping with the loss in the Super Bowl and them being blown out, we're getting new audio now because everything's coming out from the Super Bowl. Everyone mic'd up. And we're getting like a real-time sort of TikTok, if you will, of what the players were going through as the Philadelphia Eagles were beating them in Super Bowl 59. So we want to hear and play for you Patrick Mahomes. This is him during the game, mic'd up, as the team's getting blown out. He's promising they'll be back.
I was putting it out there, bro.
I'm just blessed to be here with you.
Yeah.
No matter how it go, bro.
Yeah. We'll be back here, bro. We'll be back. Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, this is the delusion that all athletes need. Like, they're not like us, okay? They have to believe at all times that they're Super Bowl contenders. And the Chiefs, of course, why wouldn't they think anything different? But two things here, EJ. Number one, I think the Chiefs should have learned from last year, which is they're walking off the field as back-to-back Super Bowl champs, and they're talking about the three-peat.
Right.
And I think the three-peat, quite frankly, became a little too big. And they're talking about what's next. How about live in the moment and realize that every season is its own thing? And secondly, you know, I can give you as much data about teams who get blown out who never get back or rarely get back versus teams that get blown out and do make it back.
Yeah.
So this is not a given here by any stretch. And I think it was honestly like it was them just coping in the moment with getting so blown out. I don't think that it means they're more likely to get back next year because they suffered this loss in such a devastating fashion.
I think in some ways the best thing that happened to them was to get blown out, because I think we've seen the Chiefs for the past several years win on the margins. We've seen them kind of getting by the skin of their teeth. And when you continue to do that, it's almost like when you're in school and you give bare minimum or not that much effort, but you still get the B, you still pass the class, and you move on. It doesn't give you any motivation to actually do anything more because you're still getting by. I think when you look at the Kansas City Chiefs the last few years, they've been winning these close games. Their offense has really been just a shell of what it used to be, where they were the high power. They were like the Detroit Lions, quite frankly, in terms of putting up big numbers and putting up big plays. They've been nothing like that really for almost 3 years now. So I think when you have a blowout like that, when you go into a game where your identity has been offense, but it's changed into defense, and you go against a defense like the Philadelphia Eagles, and you get just absolutely zipped up, I think it changes your mentality thinking, okay, we got to do things differently. So I think you go into this offseason, and you realize, let's not let Patrick Mahomes be working with his hands tied behind his back. We've been asking him to be a game manager. We've been asking him to basically just not make the bad play. We've been asking him to take the short stuff.
Right.
We got to get back to scoring 40 points a game. We got to get back to going down the field. And that comment happened, I think, shortly after he made that bomb to Xavier Worthy, which was, you know, when the game was totally over.
Yeah.
But it was kind of crazy to see because we haven't seen that Patrick Mahomes really in years. We're like, oh, wait, I forgot he has the best arm in the NFL. So I think when you go into this offseason, it gives the Chiefs the opportunity to say, okay, you know what? This whole dink and dunk and just rely on Kelce and see what else happens, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
We're going to change things drastically on our offense, get some real speed and get some real playmakers. And I think you'll maybe see a more dangerous Chiefs offense next year, which gives them a better chance to get back.
Listen, does the blowout give them a little more carte blanche to make some really big changes? Mm-hmm. Maybe, right? Mm-hmm. You can, I don't want to say hide behind the blowout, but you could use it as an excuse. And like we've already seen them tell Travis Kelce, hey, you've only got till March 12th to decide here. We can't let this thing drag out. You've got a $17 million cap hit. We can use that money elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Put in the screws a little bit to Kelce, I think, is one way you know that the blowout means that they are like in a take no prisoners, right. I guess, even with their own team. But my whole thing about the Mahomes, let's like not pretend like this wasn't strategic. Mm-hmm. You know, the league went through a change with Mahomes and Allen, maybe even Lamar to a certain extent, where they started playing this too high safety and really just trying to take away all that deep stuff and trying to take away those big plays. So what happened? You do what Tom Brady says you do. You're going to cover me deep. I'm going to go short. Mm. You're like, you want to leave the middle of the field open? I'm going to dink and dunk you, and I'm going to be disciplined that we're going to move down the field. And I'm not so sure that the Chiefs, if you're expecting Tyreek Hill 2.0, yeah, you got Worthy. I don't know if you're even going to get that. Because what has this entire NFL been about, at least this past season, and I think it's going to continue? Possessing the ball, running the ball, you know, keeping these 17-play drives alive, and you believe with someone like Mahomes, you trust him, you know, to actually execute a 15, 16, 17-play drive. Where some guys, it's like, well, I'm just giving you so many more opportunities to screw this thing up.
Right.
With him, I don't think you're worried about it. And so I would caution, and I know they got blown out, and it's the second time they've gotten blown out in a Super Bowl, but I don't think the Chiefs are going to be this drastically different team. Listen, getting Rashee Rice back next year will change the offense. We'll see if he gets suspended. Xavier Worthy year two. I think, listen, they got a lot of money already tied up to the offensive line. They've got a lot of money tied up in Chris Jones. They're drafting still at the bottom of the first round. Like, I just don't see this makeover.
But I think when you see teams like the Chiefs or teams like the Patriots in the past or some of these championship caliber teams, what we see is you end up getting guys for a dollar short of maybe what they're usually worth, right? You'll be getting a guy who maybe is towards the end of his career, but maybe has one great year left, right? Like, so it may not be them signing the biggest free agent that's available.
I think it's T. Higgins, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it may not be that guy, but could it be bringing back a Tyreek Hill and he turns back the clock for 1 year? Or is it some other kind of star player that maybe is not quite the top guy, but you put him next to Patrick Mahomes, you put him in this kind of situation, now the whole thing changes. I just feel like I've watched the Chiefs and the Patrick Mahomes development over the last however many years he's been in the NFL. And I feel like I'm watching the Steph Curry story backwards. Mm. In many ways, those guys have been compared to because they were these guys who came in with this kind of unspeakable type talent.
Yeah, changed the game.
Right. And what we saw with the Warriors was they took that talent and said, oh, you know what, we're not utilizing him correctly. We need to actually really take the chains off and let him just be who he is. With the Chiefs, it's been in reverse. It's been, you start his career, he's throwing 5,000 yards. He's throwing for 50 touchdowns. He's going to Super Bowls, Chiefs' number one offense. And then it's slowly been, okay, we're going to take away this guy in Tyreek Hill. We're going to take away that guy. Okay, Travis Kelce is getting a little older. We're not going to replace him with a guy who's in the incumbent who looks like he could be a star tight end moving forward. We were like, we're going to take away a little bit from you because you know, we know you can handle it. The problem is now we know that he can't. Not against elite defenses like the Eagles.
Yeah.
And the Eagles aren't going to be alone. Like, I'm not someone who's down on the Lions like everyone else is because they lost their coordinators. Like, the Lions were putting up monster numbers before all the injuries happened. You don't think that the Lions are going to come back at a defense that's a lot more ferocious than we saw at the end of the year when they were basically a mash unit?
Like,
I think the Chiefs know that in order for them to catch up to these defenses now that are starting to figure them out, it can't simply be, all right, it's going to be Travis Kelce and a prayer, and we'll see what happens. It's going to have to be a lot more, and I think you'll see, quite frankly, Patrick Mahomes may go to that front office, that coaching staff, and say, hey, we got to open this thing up. We got to get some big playmakers in here because this whole check down stuff,
yeah,
it's not going to work for much longer.
855-212-4227. We're asking you if the Chiefs getting blown out in the Super Bowl yet again is actually a good omen for them. That's what they're saying. Could give you a little, you know, permission, if you will, for the front office, everyone to make their changes, play a little hardball with guys like Kelsey and others. I just think, and you bring up the Lions as an example, I think that's an example of the other way, which is they had this great offense.
Yeah.
Guys were healthy on the offense.
For sure.
Offensive line was healthy. Lose to the Commanders at home. The defense is still the thing. Not to be the cliche about the defense wins championships, but like, you know, they had so many injuries, it's a little hard to tell. Like, it was just so devastated. Yeah. But I think the Chiefs look at that and say, we could be the most high-flying offense ever. What does it matter if we still aren't doing our attention to detail on defense and if we still aren't trying to play this possession game and and just be the team that kills you in time of possession? And listen, if you need to tell Andy Reid you've got a Ferrari and Patrick Mahomes, then, I mean, he's one of the great coaches in the NFL. He knows what he's got. He's choosing to try to win this way.
And I get that, but maybe it's because I'm sitting in this Andrew Perloff chair that I'm slowly becoming Andrew Perloff.
Yeah,
I'll tell you guys if an Eagles hat comes out in the second hour. But he kind of kept saying this. I think he was right in hindsight, which is like, how long can you keep doing this? Like, this idea that they're going to keep winning by field goal, that some other team's going to hit Patrick Mahomes late, or that they're going to be able to, again, slowly win by the margins at a certain point.
Getting calls.
Luck, I'm with you on that one. That luck just runs out at a certain point. It's only so many times you can push the football gods before you have to look at this and say, okay, we're winning by the margins, but something's going to give. And I think this was the moment. This was the time where it's like, all right, the house of cards kind of came down when they came against a team who – is really good, but I don't look at the Eagles and say, oh, this is like, you know, the 93 Cowboys. Like, that's not they didn't play the 85 Bears. They played a very good, very talented team. And I think it is a massive wake-up call to go into that game. You're only a one-point underdog. Like, this was not supposed to be a Eagles walkover. Like, and I think this will make the Chiefs have to look at this and say, we gotta change things up. We can't keep going the way we're going. And that would scare me. Like, if I was a team in the AFC and I saw the Chiefs take that kind of blowout, and then I hear Patrick Mahomes saying, we'll be back, and I hear Chris Jones being like, you know what, this is good for me. I wouldn't feel good about that. I would prefer them lose a close game and be like, all right, you know, we've been unlucky against that team. If they come back with that same team, next year we'll get them. I don't think you're going to see the same Chiefs team next year. I think it begins maybe with Travis Kelce.
Yeah, maybe.
It maybe begins with them saying, looking at him and saying, hey, you didn't show up in the Super Bowl. You came in the camp out of shape. You want to be a celebrity, and we're not sure if you want to be a football player anymore. That may be the beginning of them turning the page, and that may be actually the best thing that could have happened to them.
855-212-4227. All right, were the Chiefs getting blown out maybe the best thing for them, and are you expecting a massively different-looking team coming into next year? I'm still not sure about that. I'm still not. I think you can talk a big game and you can be frustrated by it. And listen, you lose in this way, you should be frustrated by it. But I also think it's a little bit, I don't want to say weak sauce, but it's a little weak to me that it's possible that the Chiefs didn't have the full motivation going into the game. Like, if that's, you know, if there was any question about how dialed in were you, I mean, you're standing on the doorstep of history. They clearly knew what was in front of them. Immortality. Mahomes better than Brady, or we'll have that debate from now to the end of time. All that stuff that was right there for them that they started talking about before they even left the field last season as the confetti's falling. To come out flat in the way they did, you know, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, it's
maybe
terrible.
Maybe you need that, like, kick in the butt, I guess, of literally getting your butt kicked. But that to me is that's more of an indictment than anything you could say about roster building or having Mahomes play, as you say, with one hand tied behind his back.
And that's totally true. And I think they come in kind of, it looked like in a daze or in a fog.
Totally
they were not there mentally for some reason. But you know what else happened? They played against a team that just had way more talent. And I don't know if you've seen these clips, and I wish we had Manny grab them, but the clips of the Eagles in their the night before meeting, all these clips are coming out. I can't believe how much access they gave the Chiefs. I've never seen this before, where you got Jalen Hurts and Lane Johnson and Saquon Barkley talking to their team, their last kind of speech before they go to bed and then they go to the game. These guys were so sure they were going to wipe the floor with the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, and remember I told you when we saw Dwayne Johnson, and I was like, that guy sounded more confident in a way that I'm surprised he would say how confident he was to us.
Yeah.
And I'm watching
the hotel.
And I'm watching him in the speech being like, we're going to beat the crap out of these guys. Like, look at their team and look at our team. They don't got a shot. And it didn't feel like false bravado watching those clips. Like, it felt like they were like, this is just a matter of time. Just tick-tock. They got one day left before they get their ass kicked.
Yeah.
Like, that to me told me that this was just two teams on different levels.
Yeah.
And I think if you're the Chiefs, it doesn't really matter whether or not you were mentally into it, whether you were motivated or whether you were nervous because of the three-peat or any of that stuff. I think this was simply the way we're trying to play football and the talent level we have currently on offense is just not enough, which means radical changes are coming. And it scares me that I think of what could possibly come for the Kansas City Chiefs when you say, all right, Patrick Mahomes, we didn't give you enough last year. We're going to do right by you because you're in the prime of your career. And the last thing you want to be doing is wasting years of your prime, hoping that you are able to take, you know, a C-plus team and turn them into a three-peat, turn them into a dynasty. Let's get you the help that you need.
855-212-4227. Were the Chiefs getting blown out actually a good thing? Because now they're going to be back and maybe stronger than ever, making some big changes. Or did they really learn their lesson? I mean, you still do have Mahomes. I think they think they're a good team. The Eagles were better. But here's the thing about the Eagles. Let's not revisionist history this.
Mm-hmm.
No snow. Did they even beat the Rams?
That would have been a tough game. Very tough game. It would have been a
major bullet. Didn't have to play the Lions.
Yep.
And the Lions were so hurt anyway, but they would have had to go on the road to Detroit. Like, the Eagles, when they're kicking the Chiefs' butt, it's like, oh, yeah, man, why weren't we talking about the Eagles more? Like, this roster is top to bottom. Everyone's healthy. You know, they got healthier.
Yeah.
All that stuff. But, like, let's not pretend like they breezed through the playoffs. You know, they got a lucky call against the Green Bay Packers that goes a different way in the beginning of the game. Maybe that whole game is different. I have no idea.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think the game against the Rams, that was a more dip and tuck game. I feel like the Packers never looked like they had a prayer. I feel like
maybe not, but then they also have to play the Commanders, who were definitely a year early.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe two.
But that means they did breeze through. Now, they didn't get the Lions, but the Lions didn't do what they were supposed to do to get to the conference championship. I think I got to give the Eagles that respect, that they played who was in front of them. And then they got the team going for the three-peat. It almost would have been different to me for the Eagles if they would have seen your Bills, unfortunately. I hate to diss the Bills, but like they would have seen your Bills.
You're just the latest person.
And I feel like the people on the show, I feel like I'm the one who takes the leash out of the Bills. But like they would have seen the Bills, or they would have seen the Ravens, or they would have seen the Texans. Let's say the Texans somehow beat the Chiefs and they got through. If they would have beat up on those teams, I think I would have said, yeah, you know what? They didn't get to see the Chiefs. They didn't see the Lions.
Right. They dodged.
Yeah. Who are the Eagles actually? I think the fact that they did eventually still have to dethrone the champs, a team that I think a lot of people thought was just inevitable.
Yeah.
I do have to give them that respect.
Maybe the NFC is stronger than we thought.
Listen to Andrew Perloff. He'll tell you that AFC is overrated. 855-212-4227. All right, we're asking you about Chiefs blowout. Is this actually a good omen here for Kansas City that they will now do whatever it takes to change their identity, get back to being an offensive-centric team, no more of this possession, Kareem Hunt, Isaiah Pacheco type stuff, no more checkdowns?
If I can see Noah Gray 3 yard outs again next year, I mean, it'll
he's
be
on the team for
I think,
a while.
I think this would be great news for the Jets and for every other AFC team, but I think just for football and just for the NFL and for Patrick Mahomes, if I was a Chiefs fan, I'd be like, what are we doing? Get me back those explosive plays. I want to see long touchdowns. I want to see three-play drives that are ending in 90-yard touchdown. Like, where was that? Like, and I don't think, I know.
They were never playing from behind, EJ. Like, that's the other part. They didn't have to do a lot of this stuff. Like, I'm talking about during the regular season. There was no need.
Yeah,
they're playing these nip-and-tuck games, but it's not like they had these, you know, a lot of 10-point deficits they had to erase.
See, that's why I go back to, and I think, again, maybe I am morphing to Andrew Perloff, because I go back to, man, it feels like Patrick, these guys were playing against farmers and plumbers. How could the AFC not have given these guys much more of a test? Like, the idea that the Chiefs were able to get by these last few years, really, like I said, playing these very close games where they're not just running people away, or when they get a lead, they're just comfortable sitting on a lead, not putting their foot on your neck.
I'll tell you what they were doing.
Right.
It was the Patriots model of just not losing. They were letting other teams lose and make the mistake. They're letting the Ravens, you know, just basically crap the bed in an AFC championship game. They're letting the Bills make their mistakes and get antsy. They know who they're playing against. You know, they know that Sean McDermott's going to make a call that where he looks tight. They know that, you know, Lamar Jackson hasn't proven it yet. Like, that's what they were doing. They were doing Belichick impersonation.
Yeah, I think that those days are done, whether it's going to be those AFC teams figuring it out or the teams in the NFC that they may have to continue to keep facing in the championship, in the Super Bowl. Because I think the Eagles are a young team in many aspects, maybe not so much on the line and Saquon, but a lot of those defensive players are young. And like I said, I think the Lions are going to be heard from again. So if they want to catch up to those teams, I think they're in a position where now they're playing catch up. It's not so much that they're the standard anymore. It's going to take radical change.
855-212-4227. Chiefs say the blowout was a good thing. What do you think? Love that Drunkle Sam is already in the chat saying Mahomes could use a little more muscle. He has to go nuts in the weight room to motivate the entire team. The dad bod god?
Yeah, I don't know about
Come on. It's working for Mahomes, whatever it is. Like, that's not what this team is missing. A Mahomes six-pack was not going to be the difference between them winning and losing.
Yeah, I'll be honest.
It's not Luka.
I'll be honest. After what happened to Will Levis, I think I kind of feel weird about the quarterback being super jacked. Like, I almost think I kind of want the quarterback to look average build.
You want them to look like Eli Manning?
Yeah, or Peyton, or, you know, Tom Brady. Like, to me, like,
pliability.
I don't know about Tom Brady. Tom Brady's diet is a little bit of a sicko mode. I'd rather look like Eli Manning.
But just this idea.
Seeing that guy with the shirt off?
Yeah, I know. It's not the prettiest sight.
Looks like Mahomes.
Right.
Looks
male athlete.
Yeah. You're talking about one and two greatest quarterbacks of all time. Like, I think if you're dedicating that much time and that much attention to simply getting jacked, it just makes me wonder, are you actually studying the mental aspect of the game? Are you actually studying the film the way you're supposed to? Are you actually working maybe with the receivers and your ball placement and things like that? Or are you just trying to get
just
jacked?
Too many crunches.
Yeah. I don't know. The fact that Mahomes isn't like that, I think, is actually a good thing in a weird way.
855-212-4227. Manny, let's throw a poll up. Chiefs getting blown out. Actually a good thing? Yes, no? Let us know. We've got so much more to do today. We've got tons on the table. We've got more fallout from the NBA All-Star game. We've got plenty of college football. Remember college football? Yeah, well, the whole sport is about to change yet again. So we've got that for you. And we're going to tell you who is going to be next year's Saquon Barkley. And by that, we mean who's the one person who's going to change teams that's going to help propel their new team to the Super Bowl. 855-212-4227. It's Maggie and EJ Perloff on a zip line somewhere in Costa Rica. Come on back. This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray. Andrew Perloff on vacation. EJ Stewart sliding over to help us out. And we just found out something very interesting about Dexter Henry, who's here doing updates because Manny's now producing and Ray's doing the board. So we're all kind of shuffling around here, but the show's still the show. Dexter Henry, not a jelly guy. You don't like any jelly? No grape, strawberry, nothing?
No. No jelly.
Just blanket? It's just all of them taste so different, though.
That's wild.
Yeah, no jelly.
Because like an apricot jelly tastes nothing like grape jelly. It's like two different foods.
You know what? I should be honest with you. I'm not sure I tried apricot jelly. I do love apricot as a fruit. I have not tried that.
So you like fruit, don't like jelly?
Yeah.
You don't like grape or something?
I love grapes, actually.
All right, then give it a shot, bro.
So you like
but I've tried grape jelly. I do not like grape jelly.
So you like these fruits that are associated with jelly, but
you just don't like them enhanced with sugar jelly and high fructose corn syrup.
That's like not liking tomatoes, but liking ketchup.
I like both of those things. So,
interesting. Well, we were having a conversation because I forgot my breakfast this morning, so we're all getting breakfast now. But I forgot my breakfast, which is I bring a peanut butter and jelly sandwich every day. And I said, if you want to, just because it travels.
What are you, seven?
Exactly. It travels.
What is going on?
The reason why I brought it up is if you are a professional working like in a city, I know we all work from home these days or whatever. It's different. The world's different. But you will not get a more side eye, stink eye look from somebody if you are a professional working in a city and you go somewhere and order a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Like everyone else is ordering like turkey and whatever, tuna fish. Order a PB&J. People will judge the crap out of you.
But I also think because, and part of it, I think, is a Northeast thing. This is a lunch city. So I think if you go to, like, a place like that, like, people will eat, like, steaks for lunch. Like, they go hard. Like
martinis?
They want, like, you know, this is, you know, the capital of the bacon, egg, and cheese when it comes to the morning sandwiches. Like, this is, like, we eat heavy, unfortunately, in New York, right? So I think the problem is, like, when they see your bacon, your peanut butter and jelly order, they're like, what?
Oh, it's light.
Yeah, like, the things you could get. Like, you can eat gourmet food, really, at noon or 1 p.m. here in New York. Maybe in other cities it wouldn't be as bad. I think this is kind of also a Northeast thing.
I think San Francisco, L.A., I think if you're in Nashville, Dallas, I mean, these are big food cities. You're in Milwaukee, it's okay to eat a PB&J. I think it's just, I think it's an adult ordering it. I think that's the disdain. It's not like, oh, this is, you could be having the surf and turf. I think people just think it's a kid's food. And it's like a top five sandwich, maybe top three.
Top two, not two.
Top two, not two?
Top
See,
two
Ray,
sandwich?
You and I, it's a top one sandwich.
I think the only thing, PB&J is fine. That's how I feel like. It's fine. I do feel like it's the sandwich that you can quickly get bored of. Of all the sandwiches you can have, and it's crazy because I watch you every day eat it, so I know you're not getting bored.
Sandwich snob? What's going on?
Well, no, I just feel like when growing up and going to school, and there was those, you know, times where, you know, your parents are like, look, I'm just going to do PB&J for the whole month.
I know.
And by week two or three, it's like, I need something else besides peanut butter and jelly.
I never get sick of it.
I need some protein. Throw on some deli meat or something. Like
the peanut butter's the protein.
It's a spread. That's not a protein. That's more of like a spread.
I don't know. I think you can mix it up with the jellies.
There's protein in it.
Also, we should ask a poll question. Is peanut butter and jelly a top two sandwich, not number two? Is it a top one sandwich?
That feels like a leap.
Is it the apex of
it
sandwiches?
Is the apex of sandwiches.
I'm with Ray. Dexter Henry.
There are so many sandwiches I would have before PB&J.
I do agree with that.
I know,
you
but then you get
like
into
jelly.
Like...
Well, that's part of it. That's part
you
of
almost
it.
Have to recuse yourself from this. But then you get into the mayonnaise, no mayonnaise, and like, are you a ham person? I think that it is top. I think it's top. I think we put a poll question out. Is peanut butter jelly the apex sandwich? Dexter has headlines and updates for us. Good morning, Dex.
Yes, I do. Good morning, everybody. Four Nations continued last night. Team USA with a spot already clinched in Thursday's championship. They lost to Sweden 2-1 on Monday night. That game had no impact on the tournament. American forward Brady Tkachuk was hurt in the first period of the loss with a lower body injury. Canada's victory over Finland in regulation earlier in the day clinched their spot in the final and a rematch against the Americans. So it's USA versus Canada for the Four Nations title on Thursday. U.S., they won the first meeting between the two teams 3-1 on Saturday. Guys, are you excited for this rematch?
Yes.
Definitely.
I mean, for something, I've never seen an event, maybe in the history of sports, that went from, forgive me to my hockey fans, because I know they knew about it, but just a general sports fan, where a lot of people did not know this thing existed, to appointment television in less than a week. Like I can't remember anything else like this, where there were a lot of folks, because they are used to NHL All-Star Weekend being the same thing, NHL goes on break, they're like, all right, whatever, they're probably going to play All-Star game or whatever. And now I see people, hockey fans, non-hockey fans, are like, yo, I got to check this thing out, and I'm one of them.
I know.
It's me.
I'm there with you. I'm trying to think, now you got me thinking, of something that went from didn't know about it to appointment television in a week. The first thing that comes to mind is maybe Caitlin Clark's first run to the championship game, where you may not have actually been that familiar with her, and then all of a sudden they beat South Carolina. It's like, oh my God, I've got to watch this game. I've got to rearrange everything in my schedule to make sure like I'm watching this chick, Steph Curry, just launch threes from everywhere.
That's a good one.
But this is you know, what I'm watching here with the Four Nations Cup is I think what goes to show is you can put 100 people in a room, smart marketing people. Like, how many people do you think are actually working actively right now to try to, like, air quotes, save the NBA All-Star game? No fewer than 20, like, Harvard MBAs that are in a room right now, whiteboarding out, how do we save this thing?
It's the population of a small country. Probably.
Exactly. And probably the GDP of a small country is the money they're spending to try to fix the NBA All-Star game. Meanwhile, you know, I'm not saying that the NHL came to this by accident. Certainly not. They're taking from an Olympic model. They know that this could be good. But they just, like, found lightning in a bottle, too. It's like, sometimes you got to just let it happen. You know, lean into the zeitgeist a little bit. We got some political stuff going on. You got people booing the national anthem in Canada and totally understand why. And guys are dropping gloves before the, you know, when the puck drops.
Yep.
It's just created like the perfect thing.
What I to that point, Maggie, what I feel like this tells you is that, and I've been screaming this for the last couple of days and all the talk around the NBA All-Star game, you don't need All-Star games anymore. It's over. It's over for All-Star games. Like we can just, we're talking about fixing it. Maybe the issue is we don't need them anymore.
Because you can't play at half speed. I think that's it. In the Four Nations Cup, everyone's playing really hard.
Yep.
And that's all we want, right, is the effort. That's why the Pro Bowl was always such a joke. Like, you can't play football at half speed. It doesn't work. It always looks silly. And I don't think you can play basketball at half speed, quite frankly. And we're here. Yeah. We're watching that.
And I really feel like, you know, as all these major sports look up at the NFL, I think all of them in hockey was smart. And Major League Baseball has tried it. I think it has worked. You have to lean into the international element. That's the one, that's the only advantage you have over the NFL. So I think that's why you saw those big numbers for the World Baseball Classic, is why you're seeing this investment and the hype around the Four Nations. I think is why, I think when we get to NBA All-Star Weekend, there will be a day where eventually this is something of USA versus the rest of the world or something. If it's not this next iteration of them trying something, it's going to be something down the line, because this is the only thing you have. I think that the idea that people were just take pride in just going out there being an all-star, that day is over. But putting the USA on your chest, putting, you know, Finland or putting Sweden or Canada on your chest, it adds a different weight to it.
Yeah, I agree. And you just have to be giving the max effort. Like in the baseball all-star game, you can't groove a meatball to Mike Trout, right? Like the pitchers are actually trying to strike out the batters. Like, you have to care.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get it. All right. Over to college basketball, men's college basketball. It is third-ranked Duke. They dumped Virginia 80-62 on Monday. But despite the win, the team suffered an injury loss. Forward Malik Brown dislocated his left shoulder late in the first half, did not return. He was expected to get imaging done later on Monday night. On the women's side, there's a new number one in the AP Top 25 women's poll. Notre Dame moved up to the top spot for the first time since 2019. On Monday night, the Fighting Irish, they won their 18th game in a row, 17th consecutive conference matchup. They disposed of Duke, 64-49, 19 points for Hannah Hidalgo. Let's talk some NFL lastly. So the combine is next week, guys, and your boy EJ, Cam Ward, has yet to decide if he's going to throw or not at the combine. But the QB is aware of how he will answer the questions that could come up from the team scouts or personnel regarding him not playing in the second half of his final game with the Hurricanes and whether or not he quit on the team. So prior to receiving the Dave O'Brien Award on Monday night, Ward said this, quote, "Okay, you're either going to draft me or you're not. If you don't draft me, that's your fault. You've got to remember you're the same team that's got to play me for the rest of my career, and I'll remember that." Ward also added the decision to not play in the second half of the Pop-Tarts Bowl was predetermined by him and coaching staff. He also added, quote, "We feel like we're doing what's best for the program and myself." So, guys, my question here is...
The fact that it's the Pop-Tarts Bowl just makes it, like, endlessly funny. It's like, how dare you not take this seriously? It's the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Agreed. Do you think Cam Ward's response here is an appropriate one?
I love it. Because to me, it sounds very similar. I know he didn't do any of this stuff, but similar to Peyton Manning. I love the Peyton Manning story of when he talked to Bill Polian the last time about the draft and what they were going to do. He was like, look, you can decide whatever you're going to decide, but know that if you don't pick me, I'm going to kick your butt for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the only way to approach it, right? Like, Cam is very unapologetic about who he is and the confidence in his abilities. And at the end of the day, I think he's right. Like, if you think that you would have drafted Cam Ward, but now you won't because of the Pop-Tarts Bowl, I mean, that to me, that general manager needs to get his head examined. I mean, that can't be part of the calculus in terms of finding your franchise quarterback.
I think it's a straw man, quite frankly. Right. I don't think that NFL teams are judging these guys when they don't play bowl games or sit out bowl games or anything. I think we're past that. I would be curious if guys start sitting out college football playoff games, which we haven't seen yet. But if you're going to pass on an opportunity to actually win something beyond a trophy that doubles as a toaster so you can warm up a Pop-Tart. You know, but we'll see about that.
Hey, we had that trophy in the studios. I took a picture with it.
High moment for you, Manny.
It definitely was.
I still missed the edible mascot. That was the coolest thing.
My one thing, though, about this is it's a fine thing to say. That's a good example. The Peyton Manning said it, and he ended up being right. How many guys say this? And like, Johnny Manziel, don't pass on me. It's like, well, turns out the Browns probably should have. You know, there's also a lot of guys who say they don't really get to, you know, they write a check that their playing career really can't cash. I think for Cam Ward, listen, it shows a little of his competitive spirit. Right. So I like that. I thought, Dexter, you were going to say he's got an answer for all those silly questions they asked at the Combine. Like, are you a dog or a cat? And like playing rock, paper, scissors with Nick Sirianni and like all these silly things. I hope he has a good answer for those, too.
I hope so. I mean, I'm glad he's prepared.
Yeah. I can talk tough here about if you pass on me, I'm going to kick your butt for 15 years. Like, you better have that dog and cat question nailed down.
You better be ready for that. Yeah. You better be ready for that one.
I think so.
Yeah.
That's it for me. I do want to let the people know that we are getting a breakfast order in here, and I told Manny what I wanted. And
a jelly on jelly sandwich?
I asked for a burrito, and he asked me if I want jelly on that. The answer is no, sir. The answer is no.
Give it a shot.
I'm not.
You don't want a grape jelly on your breakfast burrito?
Yeah, you never heard of sweet and savory?
That sigh.
You know what, Dexter? If we were a more sinister show, we'd come up with some kind of show bet where you would have to eat jelly, but we're nice people around here.
That would never happen here.
I'm actually surprised you
still ate a whole jar of jelly.
I'm surprised you still eat peanut butter and jellies after what you went through.
Took a minute. I had to take a little hiatus after I ate the whole entire jar of jelly, which, by the way, Perloff ate a jar and a half of peanut butter, paying off a bet. I ate a jar of jelly, paying off a bet. There was going to be a third bet here where someone was going to have to eat an entire loaf of bread that we've never actually paid off.
Well, I'm surprised Perloff agreed to that, because if you just mention the word carbs, he just like gets into a big sweat.
I know.
He gets into the fetal position.
Freaking like, Mr. Health over here.
He hates carbs more than he hates Bryce Young. He hates cars more than
he
hates the Dallas Cowboys.
What about the governor of New York?
No.
He hates
cars. Kathy Hochul's always number one.
He hates cars more than Joel Embiid's dietitian. I mean, the way in which, if you even mention anything about food and there's carbs are involved, that man wants no part of it. So I'm shocked he even agreed to this bet. It must have been a bet that he felt so confident in that he's like, I'm not eating this bread. There's no way I'm going to lose.
He wouldn't even make the Waffle House bet with me. He was going to eat 24 hours worth of omelets. I'm like,
can't be good for you.
No.
No, how much cholesterol that is?
He's like, you don't read up on nutrition. Like, eggs are way better than waffles. I'm like, I don't know, dude. I'm going to take my chances.
Maggie also does sports takes on a treadmill. I feel like Maggie has a good line of health as well. Like, I don't think, you know.
I know how to balance these things. 855-212-4227 is...
You know how expensive those omelets would be nowadays?
You're right.
That's another thing.
Went to the grocery store the other day on Saturday morning. They had a sign up that said, please limit yourself to one dozen.
Wow.
What are we doing? It's a shortage. It's a crisis.
Meanwhile, Perloff is like, give me all the eggs that you have.
Just going to Costco and
pushing
old
ladies
eggs
out of the way for eggs. 855-212-4227. We're asking you a couple questions today. One, Chiefs believe that getting blown out could be the best thing for them. Refocused, change the entire construct of the team, getting more offensive. Do you agree? And then number two, is peanut butter and jelly the top sandwich?
I don't know if you're going to like these early results.
All right, hold on to them for a
second. Come on, people, come on.
We have also, it's become a cottage industry now, but is Draymond Green have a point here about the NBA? We'll tell you about it next.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show. EJ Stewart sitting in for Perloff, who's on a zip line somewhere in Costa Rica.
Places unknown.
Taking some well-deserved time off. Okay, it's become a little bit, I think, of a cottage industry, and sometimes we have a little too much fun. Forgive the pun, dunking on the NBA. Yep. You know, it's become a little bit too easy. Now, Draymond Green is just the latest and most boisterous example, because Draymond was part of the coverage of the NBA All-Star Game and seemed like he had a problem with every single thing going on, right?
Most miserable guy at the party.
I know. It's like, guys, it's Debbie Downer, you know? Hates the format, thinks the NBA is boring. Here's Draymond Green on the state of the NBA.
It's not smart basketball no more. I saw a clip not too long ago where Kobe said, like, yo, it's accidental basketball. And he couldn't have been more right. It was so refreshing to play against Bron, because every possession is like a chess match. But you don't just get that on a regular basis. It's just who can run faster, who can hit more threes. It's no substance. And so I think it's very boring.
I mean, the silence from everyone else is like, uh-oh, we're supposed to be promoting the league. This is supposed to be a fun thing. But, EJ, here's my question, yeah. And this it's hard to answer. Is the NBA actually in trouble? Because if you want to use a metric of television rights deals, no, they're as healthy as humanly possible. Sure. They just signed billions of dollars in media deals, so somebody's buying into the NBA. Yep. And we know the gambling money has a lot to do with it. You need live sports to compete right now in this media landscape, and sports are the only thing you really have to watch live anymore. But if you're talking anecdotally, you got your own players, current players, are complaining about the state of the game. The former players are complaining about the state of the game, right? Because the Charles Barkleys and the Shaqs, you know, saying, oh, guys don't play anymore, the load management, they think, you know, too many threes, whatever it is. So everyone's complaining about the sport. I can't tell if they're actually in trouble. In some ways, it reminds me of baseball. We went through this era in baseball where nothing baseball could do was right. Like, every time they just kept stepping in bear traps or rakes and hitting themselves in the face. And now we've kind of let baseball off the hook a little bit because they've made some significant changes. I think people are actually into it more.
Yeah.
But the NBA right now, like, I'm tempted to say, yes, they are in trouble because your own players are criticizing the product. Former players are criticizing the product. The ratings are down, although I don't know if anyone cares about that when they're getting so much money to broadcast the games.
Yeah.
It just feels like the NBA's in a rut.
Maybe they're in a rut, but I don't think there's long-term concern for this. I think in many ways, one of the issues they've had, is this feels to me kind of like the year or two after Mike retired, which that was worse because that was a lockout year. But it felt like we've been in this malaise where we saw the prime of LeBron James and Steph Curry. And instead of those guys, you know, bowing out and retiring the way Mike did, allowing for the Kobe Bryants, Vince Carters, the next generation of stars to develop and become those faces of the league, those guys are still around. The problem is those guys are around, but they're not in around in a way that's relevant to NBA championships or relevant to the main stories of the NBA. So I think when we talk about the game being boring and Draymond Green, what did he do? First thing he did was mention LeBron. I think that LeBron in many ways has been a crutch. I think that Steph Curry has been a crutch. And my challenge to Draymond Green, anyone else complains about the NBA is boring, I would say, who are you actually watching? Because to me, I'm a New York Knicks fan, but this could be about any good team. I don't go night to night feeling like this is boring. I watch a team go out there, they play hard, they play together, they run good offense, they play pretty good defense, and then the game's over and I have a good time. And now if you're just turning on a random Tuesday night where maybe a team is load managing, maybe LeBron's playing the 30th national TV game he's played this year, maybe he's taking a night off, or maybe the Lakers are kind of, you know, half-assing it or whatever, that's one thing. But I think if you're saying, who are the better teams in the NBA, maybe I should be following them. Like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a superstar, and he's extremely pleasant to watch in terms of his the way he plays, the dexterity. You want to talk about teams playing together? How about the way the Celtics play together? You know, they're not necessarily the most likable team because it's the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of teams where if you want to watch aesthetically pleasing basketball, it's out there. If you were just trying to find the biggest names, whereas KD, Steph, and LeBron, you're going to be watching mid-basketball because those are mid-teams.
Okay, but here's the thing. There was a while where the NBA was lauded because you could say, hey, nobody is really watching for the team maybe in their market. They're watching the stars.
Sure.
And Kevin Durant can play in Oklahoma City, and they can have and be a smaller market, and people are going to tune in. Maybe we're not really in that era right now. Maybe it is, you know, because if you're just going to follow the stars, well, I think people are kind of turned on some of these stars. You know, we've talked about LeBron James and whether or not he's polarizing. To some people he is, to some people he's not. We talked about, you know, stars, quite frankly, are getting kind of annoying.
Yeah.
You know, asking for trades, want to only go where they want to go. You hamstring the team you're leaving because you will refuse to go anywhere else except for this particular team. You know, you're dropping passive-aggressive stuff on social media. And then I think something like, and this is small, and you have to be very online to have been aware of this story. You have like Paul George, for example, who's on vacation. And it's not his fault what his wife posts on Instagram. But when I tell you it looks like they are having the best time of their lives, and he couldn't be contributing less to the Philadelphia 76ers. And I'm not saying that he's the reason why the Sixers stink right now.
Clap your hands.
Yeah, right. While Perloff's away, we can really rag on the Sixers. But, like, you know, it's that whole idea of, oh, yeah, you still have $300 million in the bank. Right. You haven't won jack. And I think the stars in the NBA, it's kind of turned on them. I think the stars have actually become kind of annoying. I'm not saying Shai Gilgeous. I'm talking about the older guys.
Right. But that's
they have so much baggage with them now. It's like, I don't care about James Harden anymore. He's beaten the care out of me. I don't care about Kevin Durant anymore. He's beaten the care out of me. I don't care about Jimmy Butler anymore. He beat the care out of me. It's like, I rode with you guys and watched all your games because you're stars. And now I just don't care about you as much.
Well, I think that comes down to also an issue with us, quite frankly. I think us in the media, I think us as basketball fans, and what we're giving our attention to. Because we have put in our heads that the regular season doesn't matter,
right?
We still keep these stars relevant because we think, well, maybe if they're in the playoffs, maybe they end up making a run. So therefore, we should still be talking about them. We should be still paying real attention to these teams. When what we've seen in the past few years is, regardless of whether you think the regular season is nonsense or not nonsense, the best teams tend to be the teams at the end. And that ends up being, at the end of the day, the story, not the LeBrons, not those guys. So to me, it's like, let's focus on the players that are fun. And there are plenty of them still in the NBA.
Coming up, who could be next year's Saquon Barkley, a guy who switches teams and has a huge impact on their new team? Come on back.